I don't want to be an architect, but if I was, I'd probably want to design beautiful old buildings.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
What's this?
That's a green roof. That's part of this cancer center where they do the radiation. And then the roofs will be low shrubs and some sort of ornamental grasses and that kind of thing on top.
Grass on the roof?
Yeah.
It'd be so much fun for you.
And here's
it'd be so much fun to have a sun bask up here.
Yeah. There is one building in the Netherlands. It's at a campus in Delft. And you can actually walk right up from the ground, and all the students just kind of lay out there. It's a library inside.
It's like a Teletubbies.
This is a cancer treatment center that's proposed. So it's still in its design stages, but we've got the biggest parts of it complete now. And this was an early model that I worked on, and just shows here the change in the landscape dropping down at this point, and there's a little entry pavilion here with a water feature at the entrance, which you cross over like a dock. It's located near Cottage Country, so we've tried to incorporate some of the themes of the surroundings into the building.
Partner with Vermeulen Knight Architects.
And my name's Rebecca Beattie, and I'm an architect with the firm here.
Why are buildings aren't as fancy anymore? They're getting just like big brick buildings or square. Why are they like that nowadays?
Why? Well, I think maybe part of it is there was a movement towards what they called modern architecture maybe about 30 years ago, and it was definitely simplified, and there wasn't very much ornament at all. And because that movement was fairly pronounced, certainly in North America, a lot of the people that did the decorative work didn't have work, and so it's kind of a lost art. And now, I don't think it's expected as much, and so the budgets for the buildings don't have that money in there to do that intricate work.
I think also now people have different, they have different expectations of what a building should do. In the past, buildings would be, for example, like a sign of a king's power or something like that, where, you know, it was a way to speak to an illiterate public. And now, because people are very much more educated and we all read, the means of communication have become different, and it's not through buildings anymore, it's through, you know, media.
Why are you architects, or how did you become an architect?
Well, I went into architecture right out of high school. It was my choice for what I would go to university for, and I ended up sticking with it. High school, I really knew nothing about architecture, but I liked art, I liked math, and it was sort of a combination that I thought I would enjoy.
I think for me it was kind of the same. I didn't really know that much about it, but it just seemed to be a something that incorporated a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of the things that you study in high school. And again, it was something that was had a creative side to it, so that's what appealed to me.
When we went through, there was a Bachelor of Architecture program. Like, it was 5-year Bachelor of Architecture. Rebecca went to Waterloo, and because they do co-ops, 6 years. But now they've changed it to a master's program. So if you go into an architecture school from the outset, after 3 years, you'll get a degree in environmental studies, or certain universities have different names for it. Mm-hmm. And then you would enter at that stage. You could leave and just have that degree, or you can continue on with the master's of architecture program. Our firm happens to do a lot of healthcare, a lot of facilities to treat cancer patients, but that's not really, I think, what the public often thinks. Each architect is specialized in something, but we don't. When you get an architecture degree, you're not specialized in anything particular. You could do any type of building, so it's just sort of almost what happens, what clients you end up with, and then because you've had experience in one type, you end up getting more of that same type. But our office likes to do a variety of things, even though we do the healthcare. We do some residential projects. We did an outdoor pool, swimming pool for the city of Hamilton. So it's nice to have a variety of things.
What's the process? Could you maybe just map that out a bit?
Well, first, the client gives you really two things. One, a budget, how many dollars do they have to spend? And they usually know roughly what they're able to spend. And then they also give you a program, and that's just sort of a list of spaces that they require. And from there, we usually visit similar facilities, and they often will say what they like about it, certain facilities, what they don't like about it, what they'd like their particular project to work like. Mm-hmm. And then we have a site also. So with all those pieces, then you put together just preliminary sketches about what it might be like. You meet quite a bit with clients, like every couple of weeks, sit down with them. And then we just develop the design through computer renderings, just plans and sections and elevations, models.
The beginning phases of a project, I think, are the most exciting parts. Like, that's when a lot of the design comes into play, and the sort of the more, I don't know, the bigger ideas. And that's when, you know, you get to do a lot more sort of renderings and perspective drawing and things like that. And then later on, it becomes a little bit more, you know, you're either working out really fine details on the project, or just dealing with construction details and things like that. So there's really those two parts of it.
We do the construction drawings, and then these projects are usually tendered to a number of contractors who give them prices, and then we review the construction. I mean, we're not building it, but we go to site meetings, regular site meetings, make sure it's being built the way we want it, answer questions. And then we just review it at the end to make sure everything's finished properly.
I have a question. What about straw bale? How would you make that?
I just recently saw a magazine came in, and there was a straw bale house in it. We haven't used it. We haven't used straw bale construction for anything.
There are now certain organizations that certify buildings as being green, and there are different levels of green. The incentive for the client can be sort of long-term costs of the building compared to the costs up front. And we have done a couple of green roofs on our projects in the past. So, more and more.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Was built in, I think it was 1958, as a bowling alley, six-lane bowling alley. So when we were looking at it to buy it, we knew that the lanes, the actual original lanes, were still here, and we liked that. And then we opened up the ceilings because there were two layers of ceiling, and we saw the steel structure, and we thought that would be interesting. And we wanted to be all on one sort of large open space for the office. Otherwise, yeah, we like the open concept to work because I just think it helps everyone feel like a one group of people, and you kind of get a sense of what's going on with the other projects even though you're not directly involved with them. It is a team effort. Most of the projects we do, the larger projects, you still are, the team is about maybe 8 people at the most, because once it gets larger than that, it's a little just harder to coordinate. But yeah, every project we do, there's several people working on it.
With all different architects and all different periods, there are things you can find that you can appreciate about all of them. Like you mentioned Gaudi, and even though it's not something that we would ever try to emulate, you just can appreciate it for what it is, which is this crazy, wild, kind of exotic thing. And we don't see that every day, so just seeing something that's new and different is interesting to us. So I think the firm kind of does more work that tends to be quite modern, and but with an emphasis on craftsmanship and things that are well-crafted.
I mean, I find, to me, the most successful projects are where the architect has worked with a whole team of individuals, like the landscape architect, the structural, and it's just this complete place. Like, it's the building, it's the entry, it's the garden in front, it's, you know, they've, and it's at the urban setting. Like, they've really considered every part of it, and that's what makes it an amazing space. Like Gaudi's space, I'm sure he's just, everything is so complete down to the little doorknobs. They all relate to one theme, and that you understand, you kind of get a sense of that, and that's what makes it more than the average building.
Are women well represented in architecture field?
This is probably a couple of years out of date. My understanding was about now 50% of schools, it's about 50-50, men and women. I think when I was in school, it was only about like 15%. 15% women.
Really?
But I have also heard that out of that 50%, only maybe 10% actually continue on to become sort of registered architects. They probably do related work, but they don't. Yeah, but that could be a little out of date.
Yeah, more and more are, I think, entering the field. And so we're seeing a shift where there's, you know, going to be more women later. But right now, because a lot of the architects are still of the other generation or the older generations, it's very disproportionate.
Is there something that you've ever crossed your mind that maybe that women can contribute to architecture that's not there now?
I think when it comes to housing, women have always had like a fairly strong voice in how houses are designed and built, because they have had an input. The field of interior design has always been very accepting to women. So there has been some, you know, crossover, but I think that design is always changing. Like, I think in Canada it's becoming more and more of a public issue. Where for many years I don't know that it was as, you know, things seemed to get built and no one would necessarily know all that much about them. Whereas now, at least in the last, since I've been in architecture school, I've noticed, especially in Toronto, there's more articles about what's being built in the city than ever before. And so I think there's kind of a shift towards a more European model where there's just more of a public interest in what gets built in the city. The cities have planning departments to deal with sort of larger, you know, zoning and things like that, but oftentimes they don't have an architect on staff to, for example, contribute to a selection process to design a very large building that's going to have an impact in the city. So I think that's one area where there could be like a lot of improvement in terms of how cities function. And as far as urban sprawl goes, architects generally have for many years been trying to prevent that from happening and trying to build sort of sustainable communities and things like that, because generally architects sort of appreciate urban environments where people live close together, there's a lot of energy, you know, downtown streets, that kind of thing.
In the early 80s, late 70s, there was a lot of concern about urban design, and there was most municipalities had urban planners on staff, and maybe because of the dollars that aren't flowing, I don't know, but that those whole departments have just virtually disappeared, and so development is just happening without any kind of real planning, and I mean, there's got to be a point where it's just going to have to be brought back to the city, but right now I think it's out of control. There's a lot of computer work, definitely, and
yeah, that's not something I expected. I, you know, when I started in architecture, everything was done by hand, and a few years into it, it all got switched over to computers. So now I sit at a terminal for a good part of my day, but I'm still drawing. I'm just using a different tool. As far as math goes, I think it's just a good basis. Like a good, you know, it's a good kind of foundation for the profession, even though you don't actually sit at your desk and do a lot of calculations on a daily basis. You just still need to have access to, you know, just your basic math skills.
the train and came up through the ground, while another 100 people just got off of the bus and are looking around at another 100 people who got off of the plane and are looking at us who got off of the train and the plane and the bus. Maybe yesterday. It's a city of strangers. Some come to work, some to play. A city of strangers. Some come to stare, some to stay. And every day, the ones who stay can't find each other in the crowded streets and the guarded plot, by the rusty fountains and the dusty trees, or the padded box. And they walk together past the posted walls with a crude remark. Meet you there, or shall we let it go? Did you get my message? 'Cause I looked in vain. Can we see each other Tuesday if it doesn't rain? Look, I call you in the morning, or my service will explain. And another 100 people just got off of the train. And another 100 people just got off of the train. And another 100 people just got off of the train.
You were at the architect's office.
Yes.
What did you think about that place itself?
Well, it was very cool. It had these kind of huge wooden doors, gigantic. It had these neat little kind of couches. They were small and they were well designed. And, well, I know one thing. Well, you know bridges? Mm-hmm. They're better built triangle because they're more sturdy and they're triangle. So this is where I learned it, in the magic school bus. The magic school bus got shrunk by the porter shrinker, and then the bus was outside, so they couldn't open the big doors. And, well, there's this girl called Wanda, and she's the main one in that story. So her little brother locks them in the bathroom, so they made a bridge out of gumdrops, emery boards, and hairpins.
Do you have any favourite buildings that you want to talk about in Dundas? How about the St. Paul's Church where you take lessons?
Yes, I don't take lessons in the very church, but yes, it's very beautiful design, like a huge, nice red carpet. Most churches have red carpets.
How about the architecture?
Oh, well, it's sort of like pointy. The roof is pointy, and all the stained glass windows of people, like stained glass people.
How does it make you feel when you go in that building?
Well, it makes me feel like I'm going to like play my violin and do the concert, but then there's no one watching me. I could like try designing like beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building, and then people would have to build it, and it would be beautiful, and I'd make it the bank.
To make it a bank?
Yeah. One time, Eva and me tried to copy the magic school bus, and we used birdie balls, every flavored beans, you know, the ones that they have at the Horn of Plenty. Well, they like stuck them into mommy's hairpins, like we had to cut them in half, stick the inner hairpin in to the other side, and stuck another one together, and they made a triangle, and then we used a piece of our block, like a long block, that reached over the toilet, and it was so funny. And then we laughed our heads off.
What are some of your favorite buildings?
Well, my favorite one in downtown Hamilton is City Hall. The old City Hall. Very old. The old one, it's so beautiful. It's such nice architecture. I think it's just been left there, I'm not sure. Architecture, beautiful windows, then more carefully than these new day buildings. Modern. I don't know why they changed City Halls. I mean, why would anyone want to change such an ugly new building? I like here in Dundas, like the old town hall in Dundas. Mm-hmm. They're often made the fanciest in St. Paul. It's a very beautiful one. And there's a building that basically attached onto it, and it's very new. It's boring.
Can we talk about those roads that you build stuff on?
Those sticks and straws, plastic. Yeah. Okay. I like building them. I made a really, really nice roof for a house I made in there, just a little tiny one. I made a really beautiful one. It was just this tiny short square one, and it wasn't big enough for a meeting room. And so I made all these big designs, and then I made them very huge. But it was beautiful as well. It's just not just big. Those sticks are very good for making beautiful designs. I don't want to be an architect, but if I was, I'd probably want to design beautiful old buildings. I wouldn't want to design stairs. I might make probably living because it's more comfortable, cozy. If I had to live somewhere, if I got to choose where I got to where I live, then I'd choose a really beautiful house because our one's pretty ugly. I probably want to use gold because it's very beautiful. Real gold. Wouldn't it be nice, like gold, silver, diamonds, something really beautiful? I don't like houses that, things that aren't as very pretty on the outside. I like them to have something nice on the outside. Stone carving is very nice too. You have to be kind of careful though, because if they're very heavy stones, you know, they fell. You could kill someone. Otherwise, I like all the different kinds. Bricks are okay, but they're more modern, aren't they?
Clay, people you would use mud huts.
Mud huts.
Make beautiful ones.
And what if it rained really hard and then they melted into a bunch of wet sog?
No, that wouldn't.
Yes, what if it did? Well, it would. What if it did? It'd be pretty easy to break into if it was made of mud. All you'd have to do is take a stone and batter right through it. If I had a house, I'd want it to be pretty strong. That's the only good thing about the house I live in. And then it's in a place that's pretty shady.
Is it important for you to see nature around?
I like trees more than buildings. They're much nicer. They're so beautiful. They have such a nice cycle. One kind of building that I hate the most is wood buildings because they have to take so many trees to build.
Radio Free School. A show by, for, and about home learning.
The end. end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.